Let's take in our Bibles and go to 2 Kings chapter 14, and let's have our lesson tonight. Last week we finished up with the life of Joash, and we saw in that how there was a... we've been looking at a lack of personal faith. We looked at crisis faith. And last week, I forget the title of last week. Does anybody remember what faith we looked at last week? Good, I'm not alone. You forgot it too. We looked at this young man as he was at the end of Elisha's life here, and he had a intellectual faith. Thank you very much. Yes, it was a limiting faith. A limiting faith. Man, I had a brain freeze right there, let me tell you. And he struck those arrows on the ground three times, and it limited what God was going to do in his life. And we talked about how that a heart that and a lack of faith can limit what God will do in our own lives. And I don't want that to happen in my life. You're going to meet a man tonight. His name you're going to find in verse 1 of chapter 14 is a man named Amaziah. I'm going to read you the all of chapter 14, not all of it, but most of it. It's going to give a setting for this man's life, and then I'm going to, or a description of it, and then I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles 25 and give you the details. And I pray that God will speak to your heart. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 1. In the second year of Joash, son of Jehoaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. Now remember, I told you last week in the Kings, one of the ways you're going to get very confused is if you try to do it solely by how they're named, because you've got two kingdoms here. You got this kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, and sometimes their kings have the same name, or events take place in that. And so this is such is the case. You have a Joash mentioned here that ruled in Israel, but we're talking about today a man named Amaziah, who was the son of Joash, who reigned in Judah. Verse number 1. Verse 2. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiadin of Jerusalem. And he did that which was, what's that word, class? Right. Now remember, all the kings of Israel, that verse would say, and they did that which was evil. The kings of Judah had evil kings, but some of them did right. Amaziah is a young man who reigned for 29 years. In the beginning of his reign, he did that which was right. Matter of fact, in verse 3, it says so. But there's a word, a conjunction, right after that phrase, that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But there's a word there called yet. Yet, not like David his father, he did according to all the things as Joash his father did. Now, if you remember when we looked at Joash's life, Joash was a man who did not have a personal faith. Joash was a man that hid behind the faith of Jehoiada. As long as Jehoiada was leading, as long as Jehoiada was involved in his life, Joash did that which was right. But when Jehoiada died, Joash was exposed. And we talked about how that our churches in the realm of Christianity, we have many folks that do not have a personal relationship with the Lord. They have a proxied relationship through somebody else. As long as somebody else is strong, they're strong. But if they don't have that leadership, they don't have that personal walk. I hope that's not true about you. Verse 4 tells us the fault that Amaziah had. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away. As yet, the people did sacrifice and burn incense on the high places. High places were where was Baal was worshipped and false gods were worshipped there. And so Amaziah did some things right, but he didn't take away where the people sacrificed or worshipped at the high places. Verse 5 is a little bit of a description of what he did right. And it came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew or killed his servants, which had slain the king his father. You remember that. They killed Joash, those men did, and Joash's son, Amaziah, killed the men that killed his dad. Verse number 6, though, he showed some biblical restraint. But the children of the murderers he slew not, according unto that which is written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children to be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. All right? So when Amaziah killed those men, he just killed the men that did the deed. He didn't kill their children. He didn't wipe them all out. And the reason he didn't do that was because that's what God had commanded. Verse number 7 talks about a different war in his life. He slew of Edom in the Valley of Salt 10,000 and took Selah by war and called the name of it Jokthiel unto this day. Now, you might have a study Bible and you're going to find that that word Jokthiel means the Lord destroys. When I get to 2 Chronicles 25, I'll show you the details of that battle. Verse 8, then... And that word then is very important. Then, after that great battle, Amaziah sent messengers to Joash, the son of Joaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel. Now remember, we're talking about now the king of Judah, and Amaziah, he is in the southern kingdom. The king of Israel is Joash here, and after this battle, Amaziah sends a letter to the king of Israel, and it says in verse number 8, here's the letter. Come, let us look one another in the face. Pastor, what kind of wacko letter is that? What that means there is, come, let us face one another. Come face me like a man. Let's find out who's the stronger. They're going to have a battle. Verse number 9. And Joash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, and he sends him a little story here. The thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle. Now, this little story, in this little illustration, is the king of Israel sends back to him. And remember, Lebanon was known for their tall cedars. That's where Solomon got all those trees to build the temple. They were known as strong and aggressive and majestic things. That's what they were known for. And he says, now there's this little thistle and there's these big trees. And an animal went by and destroyed the thistle. Basically, the king says, who do you think you are, peon? Verse number 10. Thou hast indeed smitten Edom, and thine heart hath lifted thee up. Glory of this, but you better stay home. For why shouldest thou meddle to thy hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee? The guy says, all right, you beat Edom, but don't get bigger than your britches, man. You come over here, and I'm going to wipe the floor clean with you. Matter of fact, you better not pick a fight you can't win. Don't meddle in this thing. You're about to get a whooping. Verse number 11. But Amaziah would not, what's that word? Man, is that an important word. But Amaziah would not hear. Therefore, Joash, king of Israel, went up, he and Amaziah, king of Judah, looked one another in the face at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah, which means that's where they had a war. And Judah, this is Amaziah's team, was put to the worse before Israel. And they fled every man to their tents. And Joash, king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Ahazi, at Beth Shemesh, and came to Jerusalem and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim under the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasure of the king's house and hostages and returned to Samaria. Now, the rest of the acts of Joash, which he did in his might, and how he fought with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Joash slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. It means he died. And with the kings of Israel. And Jeroboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Now this is what happened to Amaziah. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, son of Jehoash, king of Israel, 15 years. The rest of the acts of Amaziah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Now they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent after him to Lachish, and they killed him there. And they brought him on horses, and he was buried at Jerusalem with his fathers in the city of David. All right, so 2 Kings chapter 14 gives us a description of the life of Amaziah. He is a man who was referred to by the inspired writer, by the Spirit of God, and his recollection was he was a man that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, which means he did some right things. The way that he died is evidence, though, that it wasn't a pure right. It wasn't a right that sustained him his whole life. He did not tear down the high places, which allowed that false worship and allowed that spirit to be not only in his own kingdom, but in the people. So now when you come to 2 Chronicles chapter number 25, I want to kind of give you the details of Amaziah's life. And I want to make our lesson application from 2 Chronicles 25. Pick up, if you would, verse number 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. We know this. We know his mother's name. We know in verse number 2, half of the verse, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a what class? But not with a what? Perfect heart. You may have a study Bible. I don't know. There's some words there for that word perfect. One of the words would be loyal. One of the words would be honest. One of the words would be complete. One of the words would be mature. Amaziah was a man that did some spiritual things. But he didn't have a loyal spiritual heart. I have found that even today, people are capable of doing some spiritual things without a loyal heart to the Lord. It's easy to sing in the choir if you can carry a tune. It's easy to preach a message. It's easy to teach a Sunday school class. It's easy to give money. It's easy to bake bread. It's easy to be a greeter. It's easy to do junior church. It's easy to work in a water. We can all do some spiritual things that really we do not need a loyal heart to do. Sad thing is that most of our assumptions and most of our praise now is just goes off of what we physically do, and you can hide behind that. But Amaziah was a man who was doing these things, but he didn't have a loyal heart. Would you help me with a verse? Proverbs 4:23. Guard your, for out of it are the issues of life. Could I submit to you that your heart relationship with the Lord is more important than what you do for the Lord? One day, when we go to the judgment seat of Christ, all the works are going to be presented, but it's the works that were done with a perfect heart that are going to be rewarded. I'm getting ready to walk through Amaziah's life, and I'm going to say some things and point some things out that are evidences of a non-loyal heart to the Lord. But what I want you to remember was this guy would have fit good and would have fit well inside most churches. On the outside, this guy was obeying biblical principle. On the outside, he was serving the Lord. On the outside, everything kind of looked good. But on the inside, he wasn't right. And because he wasn't right on the inside, God has a way of exposing that. And because he didn't guard his heart, when he approached the issues of life, he responded in a way that destroyed the man. It's fascinating. And so as we go through here and I read these things, I'll stop and make some lessons here. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants. We know that. He slew not their children. We know that in verse number 4. Verse number 5. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above. And he found them 300,000 choice men, able to go to war, that could handle spear and shield. That's a pretty good army. Verse number 6. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of where, class? For 100 talents of silver. Now he's getting ready to go to battle here in Edom. Verse number 7. But there came a man of God to him. You ever had that happen? You ever had a plan for your life and you ever had a direction and the preacher shows up? What are you doing? Why would you do that? Oh, no, I got it all figured out. And here comes some godly man that just says, what are you thinking? This is what happens. Verse number 7. But there came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to, what's that word? And power to do what? Cast down. Oh boy. So here's Amaziah, and he's getting ready to go to war with Edom. And he's counted his soldiers. He's got 300,000 soldiers. But he goes in and he hires 100,000 out of Israel. Now, God's not with Israel. If you remember Israel at this time, they're worshiping Baal. They're worshiping all these false idols. They're filled with apostasy, and God's not moving in them. But Amaziah goes in and he takes these 100,000 mercenaries and he tries to join them to fit this battle that he's going to do. And really and truthfully, you have to have a lesson here and an exposure here of one of the evidences of a non-loyal, perfect heart with the Lord is our lives are filled with unbelief. Unbelief. And so Amaziah is going to go make this battle, but he doesn't think that God can do it with just his crowd. He thinks he's got to go out here and get some mercenaries. And so he goes against God's plan, and he goes out and he hires these guys. And really the motive of hiring them is he doesn't trust the Lord. He lacks faith. He's not secure in what God can do. His heart's not secure in the Lord. I find people all the time, they can serve the Lord, but they can't trust the Lord. It's one thing to serve the Lord. It's another thing to trust the Lord. And a lot of people hide their non-loyal heart and their unbelief behind service. Now, I want you to know something. I look at all the services of our church, and if I see the same name over and 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 over again, I go to the leader of that thing and I say, get them back into a church service. I'm always leery of somebody who never wants to be inside the auditorium. Some people, they can hide, and they come to church only when they're in the nursery, or they come to church only when they're going to sing, or they're going to come to church here, or they're going to do this. And they have this unbelief and this hiding there, and their heart is not loyal. And so here's Amaziah. He didn't trust the Lord. And so he goes out and he hires these mercenaries against the Lord. Look, if you would, what the man of God said. The man of God said, listen, you better not do this. If you're going to go with unbelief, if you're going to compromise, which is what unbelief most of the time makes us do, is compromise with the world or compromise in what God's called us to do. He says, if you're going to go this direction, you're going to be in trouble and God is going to make you fall. For God hath power to help and God hath power to cast down. Now, I want you to know something. God will always help faith, but he will very rarely let unbelief know victory. And it's not so much where he won't let unbelief with the world. He won't let unbelief with his child know victory. So a lot of times, because I don't trust the Lord in a certain situation here, I position myself over here where I have hired in some help or I have manipulated some help. And now I'm going to go forward in the battle of life. And really and truthfully, the Bible says that God has power to help you, but God also has power to make you fail. And a lot of our failures in our life are because we did them without trusting the Lord. And so we try to manipulate or mark our own direction there. You got to be careful about that. Verse number 9, Amaziah tries to rationalize what he's done here. But Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? He's worried about money. Man, does that not sound like people today? Let me tell you something. Most of our bad decisions are made because of money. Money is not a reason to make a decision. It's not a reason to stake that. When God's people, we don't make decisions based on money. We make decisions based on, Lord, what do you want us to do? And a lot of our unbelief, a lot of that divided heart is exposed when we run into money problems. And so we won't trust the Lord. We'll kind of align ourselves over here and we're concerned, well, what am I going to do with all of this or how's this going to be protected? This is Amaziah's problem. He's worried about money. Verse number 9. And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee, what are those next two words? Much more than this. Much more than this. Okay, so let's be real practical. $20 a week. Not a lot of money for if you have a job. Not a lot of money for most of us. $30 a week. So you're praying and God says, I want you to give $30 a week. And we immediately ration that by, oh man, how much do I have? What do I have? And so some people, they won't give to missions and all God's asking from them is $25 a week. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that God can reimburse you $25 a week? Do you believe that God can give more? We got this problem sometimes in Christianity where we don't think that God can meet our need. And so we make horrible, horrible, horrible decisions on a dollar amount. And so we align ourselves, whether it's $10 or $100,000 or whatever. And that's a lot of money to us. It's amazing how little money is a lot of money to our lives. I have watched people backstab and families blow apart for $10,000. I have seen somebody die and this family just annihilate this part of that for $100,000. I have seen people actually sin and go into affairs and do for $250,000, or they put this a little bit amount of money. I went to a legal seminar, and the pastors that are getting arrested for embezzlement, they're only embezzling about $10,000. To me, Jesus is worth more than $10,000. We get ourselves in this thought process that, well, I make $200,000 a year, so I could never quit and go be a missionary. But God's just ripping your heart to go and serve him. And you're going to say no for $200,000, or you're going to say no for $10,000, or you're not going to give to missions for this, or we're going to make on just such people throw away their lives for just a little bit of money. Right. You cops in here, you law enforcement, most of your 7-Eleven robberies, what do they get? $30? $100? A bullet going out or a bullet coming in? We destroy our lives. Here's Amaziah. His heart's not loyal to the Lord, perfect to the Lord, and it's being evidenced in the fact that he's filled with unbelief, and he's hired these people because he doesn't trust the Lord, and now when the man of God confronts him, all he's worried about is his money. And the man of God says, you're going to ruin your life for a little bit of silver? Don't you think God can give you more than this? And God's people should say, you're going to ruin your life for just a little bit? Verse number 10. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim. He listens to them to go home again. Wherefore their anger, this was the mercenaries, their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the valley of Salt and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive. This is kind of gross, but they brought them under the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock, and they were all broken in pieces. They killed 10,000 people. That way they threw them off cliffs. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah from Samaria even unto Beth Horon, and smote 3,000 of them and took much spoil. That's interesting. There's a lesson here. All choices have consequences. So Amaziah makes this choice when he's filled with unbelief. He brings these mercenaries in. God confronts him, says, what are you doing? You're destroying your life for just a little bit. If you go down there, I'm going to be against you. I'm not going to let you live in sin like that. You better get rid of them. Amaziah says, okay, I'm going to get rid of them. And so he gets rid of them. But when he gets rid of them, they're ticked off. And on their way out, they kill 3,000 of his people. All choices have consequences. Pick up verse number 14. Now it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods, small g, of the children of Seir, and set them up to be his gods. And he bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. So not only does the guy filled with unbelief, now he's worshiping these other gods. And in verse 15 it says, wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet again, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? To me, that's a pretty good question. Do you understand what the Bible's asking him there? The man of God says, now let me get this right. You went over here and you killed all these people. And then you took their gods and you brought their gods into your place, and now you're bowing down and worshiping their gods. Now, these were the same gods that these people over here prayed to so that you wouldn't kill them. Their God didn't answer their prayer and you killed them. Why in the world would you be worshiping their God? You know, Jesus asks good questions, doesn't he? Amazing. Well, yeah, I guess why would we be doing that? He had an imperfect heart. He didn't have a loyal heart. And so he's being exposed here. And the exposition is that he really didn't love and trust the Lord. He really didn't worship the Lord. He sees all that gold and all that shiny and all of that, and he immediately falls down and begins to worship that. Let me just say this, by the way. No one in the world, in the cosmos, in the world that's against God, ever died for our sin. Only Jesus Christ did. Amen? But why would God's people worship the world's gods? Why would a saved person ever fall down and worship the world's gods that did nothing for them? I mean, I don't know what kind of sin you were saved out of. There are some people in this room and you were saved out of, I mean, the depth of sin that was destroying your life. And it's interesting that that has, now that you know the Lord, you see that for what it is. But yet God's people still come down and they fall down at the world's. I wonder what Jesus thinks when he sees God's people doing it. Well, that didn't do anything for them. Why are you bowing down there? They didn't bleed for you. They didn't die for you. They didn't cleanse you. They didn't save you. What are you doing? Good question. That's what they asked Amaziah. Look, if you would, at verse 16. This is usually the response you get. And it came to pass, as he, that's the man of God, talked with Amaziah, that the king said unto him, you better be careful. You better shut your trap. Art thou made of the king's counsel? Who do you think you are? Forbear, shut up. Look at the next phrase. Why shouldest thou be, what class? Murdered. I'm going to kill you. You better shut up, man of God, or I'm going to kill you. All the man of God was doing was challenging him. All the man of God was confronting him in his choice. All the man of God was doing was asking him, why would you be doing this? But his heart is not, it's not pure and right from the Lord, and he's filled with unbelief. That made him compromise. Now that he's got a little bit of pride in this, now he's worshiping the false gods. And here comes the man of God to challenge the man's will. And when his will got challenged, rage just came on. He said, you better shut up, I'm going to kill you. It's interesting what the prophet says in verse 16. Then the prophet forbear. I guess he decided to fight another day. And said, I know that God hath determined to, what's that word? Destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and hast not hearkened unto my what? Counsel. So now Amaziah is filled with pride. Now he's worshiping these false gods. And when he's challenged to his spiritual problem, he rages. By the way, just a question for you. What do you do when somebody challenges you? What do you do, husband, when your wife says, I don't think we ought to do that. That might hurt the Lord. What do you do, wife, when your husband says, hey, I think we ought to maybe go this direction? What do you do, sir, when your Sunday school teacher or a godly man comes and says, you know, I saw you doing that, and the Bible says differently. I'm a little bit concerned for you. You know, one of the evidences of your heart is how you handle somebody confronting you when you're wrong. Rage. I don't know where I'm going with this, but God wants me to go. I don't know who I'm touching with this. Rage is a problem. It's not normal for your husband to put his fist through your walls. It's not normal for a wife to fall on the ground and scream and kick and lose her mind. If your young person is raging, if you confront somebody and they rage, there is a spiritual problem there. Pastor, he just has a bad temper. No, he has an imperfect heart. And rage is not something you better let fester inside your home or inside your life. Because Jesus said, if you have anger in your heart, you have committed murder. Amaziah said, you better shut up. I'm going to kill you, boy. He had an imperfect heart. So when your boss says you're 2 minutes late, when your boss says, hey, we do it this way, when you feel that go, amen? I know. You're welcome. He wouldn't hearken to his counsel. Look at verse 17. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, what are those two words? Took advice. Now, problem is, and lesson here is, a heart that's not perfect with the Lord is open and vulnerable to other advice. As far as I'm concerned, this is still the eternal word of God. If you believe that, say amen. Amazes me how people throw away righteousness in their lives for such a little bit, but it also amazes me what kind of counsel people follow. So here's Amaziah, and the man of God is counseling him for his own good. The man of God is counseling him for his own righteousness. The man of God is counseling him to the way of victory, and he's raging, and I'm going to kill you. And then he's open up to advice. So he takes advice in verse number 17. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice and sent to Joash. This is the story. The son of Jehoaz, son of Jehu, and said, let's fight. And you know in verse 18, he gives him the little story there. And in verse 19, he says, you've done all that. You've won that battle, but pride's lifting up your heart. And then in verse number 20, but Amaziah would not hear. Bible says, be swift to hear, slow to speak. I want to talk about hearing just a second, because I think hearing is an evidence of whether you have a perfect heart or if I have a non-loyal heart, my ability to hear. Here's God reaching out to Amaziah through Joash to protect him, but he wouldn't hear. Now, God's going to use his deaf ear to punish him. But hearing is so important. Amaziah would not hear. You ever meet somebody and you try to confront them and all they do is, I know. You're trying to instruct somebody. I know. This is how you do. I know. No, I'm trying. I know. I'm trying to tell you. I know how to do it. I know. Well, you need to. I know, Pastor. I know. I need to love her. I need to do it. I know. But I'm trying to. I know, Pastor. I know. This is what you do here. I know. Do you get my point? I'm having a conversation with you, and you're telling me you know, but you haven't heard a word I said. I know. Okay, so when you come on Sunday, this is, I know how to do that. Okay. Or you're not allowed, somebody always interrupts your sentences. They don't hear. Do you hear? Can you hear me out there? Do you ever stop to hear God? Do you ever hear his voice? Tom, you're going over here, but I know God. I know. I'm going over here. I know. You want me to? I know. I'm trying to tell you something, Tom. But we don't hear God. It makes me so mad. And this is probably not the day to do it. I'm getting ready to preach a message on how to properly spank your kid because the news media has no clue. It makes me so angry when I try to instruct my son, because my son has this problem. And I'll try to tell him, and he'll just, I know. No, Tommy, you don't know how to do this. Let me show you. No, I know how to do it. No, you don't know how to do it. Yes. He won't listen. I know what to do. No, you don't. I think sometimes God tries to say, I'm trying to instruct you, but we won't hear him. And then when God sends somebody to get our attention, don't tell me what to do. We rage because really and truthfully, we battle our will. And one of the evidences that my heart is not perfect with the Lord is I don't want to hear anything else. Are you teachable? Are you correctable? Are you approachable? Have you ever changed anything in your life in the last 30 days? Has somebody ever come to you and said, and I wish we had some gracious women in this church that had some boldness. You know, maybe next time you shouldn't wear that to church. Don't tell me what to wear. We can kind of see through that. Or, men, have you been approached about anything with your wife, anything with your kids? Are we approachable, teachable? Has anybody ever corrected you? Have you ever faced any of that? Has anybody? So maybe somebody hasn't loved you enough to do that, but I got news for you. None of us are perfect. But it's almost like, and I'm the pastor, and if I try to approach somebody and say, listen, I see what you're doing here, and it's against God's will. We're going to kill you, pastor. Well, I don't want to die, so I forbear. Go on. Go do what you want to do. But I got news for you. God has power to help, and he has power to cast down. Amaziah, all he did that which was right, but he didn't have a perfect heart, filled with unbelief, filled with pride, led to idolatry, led to him not hearing any approach, and ultimately destroyed his life. He destroyed his life for nothing. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing people destroy their lives for nothing. I want to see people begin to depend upon the Word of God. And let's go forward and do that. Amaziah's got some things to teach us there that we need to evidence in our own life. Shall we pray?